Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
Well, after 4 summers of living in Wisconsin, I've learned something that tomato plants are like pickup trucks. You don't necessarily need one of your own. You just need a friend who has one. That's it. Odds are, if you live in Wisconsin, you've got plenty of people in your life who have either pickup trucks or tomato plants, or both. Tomato plant people. I call them tomato people, right? People with tomato plants. Tomato people, they're generous. Like whether you like it or not, they're gonna give you some tomatoes, aren't they? Like, you know what I'm talking about. They come into the office and they got like boxes of them, and they're just pushing them on everyone. You know, here, take some. We got these tomatoes coming out of our ears. Take some tomatoes. You know, and you can look a tomato person dead in the eyes and say, you know, I don't even really like tomatoes. And they'll go, take a couple. They're good for decoration. Just take a few of them. Yeah. We got so many of these tomatoes. I wish my husband wouldn't have planted so many. I told him. But listen, tomato people are generous because they plan ahead. They planted their seeds. Generosity takes planning. Generosity takes pre-work. No one wakes up one day and walks out into their yard and says, where did all these tomato plants come from? No, they did that. They planted them, right? They took the seeds, and instead of holding on to them, they put them in the dirt. They said goodbye to them. And how silly would it be for someone to hold on to their seeds? How silly would it be for someone to go, you know, I don't really want to let go of these. I think I want to keep them. You know, I like having them in the cupboard. It's just nice to know they're there. It sounds silly, but we kind of do the same thing with money, don't we? I mean, we get nervous to open it up, to let them go. You know, we get nervous because we don't know if we're ever going to get it back again. But the passage of scripture that we're going to look at today is going to explain that money's like a seed, and giving is like planting it. So if you trust God and you trust him enough to give generously, especially to those in need, he'll take care of you. In fact, he'll do way more with what you give than if you had kept it. And he'll meet your needs and then some. And he'll reap a harvest in your life far better than tomatoes. That's what this passage is going to talk about. But if you're stingy with your tomato seeds, you're never going to be a true tomato person. You're never going to live with that tomato person type generosity. So what I want to do today is read this passage. It comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Then I'm going to pray and invite you. When I pray, would you pray with me in your heart? And just say, okay, God, if you've got anything to say to me on this topic, help me to hear you. And then we'll look at it a little more closely. And here's my goal. My goal is that you would leave here with a passion to take generosity seriously. Like a tomato plan. Like, how am I going to be a tomato person type generous person? So here, let's read it. Chapter 9, I'm going to start at verse 6. Paul says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for the generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So I invite you to pray with me about this. Lord, I don't think there's anyone in here who has the goal of becoming a more stingy person. Lord, we want to be generous. We want to look to you and see a generous God and be a generous people. God, we trust you that if we give, you're going to take care of us. So I pray, Lord, that as we look through this passage that Paul wrote so many years ago, would you help us to increase in faith, Lord? Would you help us to increase in generosity? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what's going on in this passage? This is 2 Corinthians is a letter that Paul wrote to the believers in the Greek city of Corinth. And one of the topics he addresses in this letter is this topic of a collection. See, what was going on was at the time there was a severe famine in Israel. And so the poor believers in Jerusalem, they're already suffering intense persecution. And then you add on top of that a food shortage. They've fallen on some really hard times. And so last time Paul had visited the church in Corinth, he told them about it. And what is their response? They say, well, we want to do something about this. And that's the right response, isn't it? Anytime someone's in need, we should want to help, but especially when it's our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus said, this is how they will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another, right? The early church was known for absolutely radical generosity. I mean, they no one had too much, no one had too little. They shared everything. It was like this unforced version of communism, but instead of the government imposing it upon people, it was just flowing out of a place of genuine goodwill. They just cared enough about each other to take care of each other. That's what God's people are supposed to do. We're supposed to take care of each other. And so Paul says, yeah, Corinthians, you better believe it. That's what you want to do. So here's the deal. Raise some money. And then when I come back through on my way back to Jerusalem, I'll collect it. I'll bring it to Jerusalem. And then it can be distributed among the brothers and sisters in need there. And so now in this letter, he's writing to them. He's on his way back through. And he writes ahead saying, hey, just a heads up. I'm coming back through. So why don't you get that generous offering all collected and prepared? That way when I show up, you'll have it all ready and you'll be able to give it as this generous gift. And rather than me kind of asking for it and I show up, you're not ready, but I'm asking for it. So then it feels forced and maybe you give it, you know, kind of grudgingly or something. But rather if you have it ready, you'll be able to give it with joy. And so why don't you make the final preparations for that gift? And as you make those preparations, I want you to keep something in mind. He says, remember, verse 6, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will also reap generously. This is an old agricultural axiom. The single biggest factor determining how many tomatoes you will harvest is how many seeds you plant. No seeds sown, no tomatoes. A couple seeds, a couple tomatoes. A lot of seeds, a lot of tomatoes. That's the principle. And the concept is just the more seeds in the ground today, the more tomatoes I have in the future. And this is called the principle of sowing and reaping. And Paul applies it here to generosity. He says, you know, this is how it works with finances if you are someone who knows, loves, and trusts God. And here's how it works. And I'm going to point out three things from this text. And they're things that godly and generous people know. So if you don't take my word for it on this, find someone who you go, okay, I think that person has got, they're a man of God or she's a woman of God, and I know them to be very generous. Is what Brandon said, is that the real deal? They'll go, absolutely. First thing, people who are generous and godly know planning leads to joyful giving. Right? Planned giving is joyful giving. Paul says, before I come, I want you to do something. Verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. See, tomato people, they never have giver's remorse. After a successful day of blessing everyone in the office with homegrown fresh produce, they're never sitting at home going, oh heck, what did I do? Why did I give so many tomatoes? They never feel swindled. They never feel like they were manipulated or coerced, right? They know they made a good decision because they've been dreaming about it. They planted the seeds. They watered. They did the pre-work. So they can give confidently. It's not like a guilt trip or anything like that. They planned ahead. They did the work. They made the decision. The best thing you can do if you want to give generously and feel good about it is to make a plan. The best thing you can do if you want to give generously and feel good about it is make a plan. Planning leads to cheerful giving. The second thing that godly, generous people know, you can't outgive God. Like, you can try. You can try to give away more than he can provide, but it ain't gonna work. Verse 8, just the first sentence here. And God is able to bless you abundantly. What's that got to do with giving? Well, if God weren't able to bless you abundantly, giving would be foolish. But that's not the case. So Paul's saying, like, while you're deciding in your heart how much you wanna give, keep this in mind. God is able to bless your socks off. You don't have to worry about if you're going to get the seeds back. You know, every one seed makes a plant that has multiple tomatoes. Every tomato has like 150 seeds in it. Like, God can take care of you. And that's why the principle of sowing and reaping is even a thing. Like, God is able to do it. Do you know that nothing, doesn't matter how many seeds you plant, nothing would bear fruit, nothing would grow if it weren't for the life-creating and sustaining work of God. See, concerning generosity, we can give confidently because, pretty much one reason and one reason only, we can give confidently because we know we're not leaving anything up to chance. When we give, we're not wagering it on the impersonal whim of the universe. But whatever seed we plant financially, you're placing it in the hands of the one who holds all things together, the one who upholds the universe by the power of his word, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. He is able to bless you abundantly. And why? The verse goes on. Here's why. Here's why God blesses. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. See, abundant blessing is for abundant good work. God's blessings abound that our good works may as well. So listen, if your deepest desire is, God, I just want to do your will, you will never go a day in your life without having exactly what you need to do it. If your desire is, God, I want to do your will. I want to be about the kingdom. I want to serve you. There's nowhere on this planet you can go where God can't take care of you. But his abundant blessing is not for my abundant recreation or my abundant entertainment or my abundant comfort. Like, the only reason you should be nervous by giving is if your secret hope is that somehow it's going to manipulate God into giving me a more comfortable version of my life. No, that's not what it's for. God says, listen, if your heart's from me, if it's for me, I got you. You've got all the blessing you'll ever need, and then some. And Paul says, guys, if you don't believe what I'm writing, why don't you flip to Psalm 112, which he quotes in verse 9. He says, as it is written. Paul says, I'm not just making this up. This is what the Bible teaches. Psalm 112, it says, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Who does that? Who freely scatters their gifts to the poor? You know how that psalm starts out? Blessed. Talk about blessing abound. God is able to bless you. Blessed are those who fear the Lord and take great delight in his commands. You know who God loves to bless? People who delight in living for him. People who say, God, I know I go wayward. I know I wander. But down here, the thing I want the most is just to honor you. Is just to live for you. And what do they do with the abundant blessing that God lavishes them with? They scatter it, right? They sow it. They plant it. They scatter it freely to the poor. We are not blessed to be hoarders. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're talking tomato people type generosity here, guys. We are blessed so that we can bless other people. People who plan and who give joyfully, knowing they can't outgive God. And when they do that, something beautiful happens. Look at the second line of that psalm. It celebrates that their righteousness endures forever. These people who trust God, they delight in his commands, they live for him, and they scatter freely to the poor. What happens to their righteousness? It just goes on and on. It gets multiplied. It's increased. The third thing that generous and godly people know is that giving produces a harvest that's far more precious than money. Like, it's like you plant tomato seeds, but you get something way better than tomatoes out of it. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. So God's going to take care of you. And he's going to give you, you say, I want to be generous. He's going to take care of you. And he also give you more so you can be even more generous. And he will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. See, the fruit that we can reap from generosity is far more precious than money, so much better than money. Verse 11, you will be filthy, stinking rich. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, remember he's saying, we're gonna take your generosity to Jerusalem for you. Through us, here's what's going to happen. Your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And then in the next verse, he says, you're not just providing for the needs of God's people. You know what else you're doing? You're causing them to overflow in many expressions of thanks to God. And in verse 14, and their prayers for you and their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Do you see what's happening here? It's like a triangle of blessing. It's blessing from God to us, from us to them, praise from them back up to God, better relationship between us. We get to be a triangular conduit of the blessing of God. And think of all the implications here. Think of the tomatoes that are coming from sowing these seeds. You get the joy of tomato people like giving. You get the joy of being the blessing, and you get to partner with God with what he's doing in other people's lives. They get their physical needs met, and then something else happens in them as well. Their faith increases. They see, wow, we prayed and God answered our prayer through his people. We trust him more. They praise him more. Faith increases. Praise floods out of them. God is glorified. What will be the result? They won't go, wow, those Corinthians sure are special. They go, wow, God, you are special. They become closer to God. And you know who else gets closer? You get closer to them. They're praying for you, Paul says. Their hearts are going to go out to you. They're praying for you. Fraternity happens through generosity. Friendship happens. Love increases. I want you to think about this. Think about the animosity between the average Jew and average Gentile of the day. These were water and oil. They did not mix. But then these believers, brought into the same family through the same Savior, taken care of each other. Maybe there's still some seeds of distrust. But can you imagine how much closer these Greek and Jewish believers were after this generosity? Their hearts were knit closer. Can you imagine the seeds that they sowed and what they reaped here? So it's like, imagine a tomato plant that sprouts up, and instead of giving you tomatoes, what you get from it, you get love, joy, unity, trust, friendship, and God gets glorified. That's a pretty good investment, isn't it? That's good farming. That's a harvest of righteousness. And whoever sows generously will indeed reap generously a harvest of righteousness. So what's all this got to do with us today? I think it simply means we should probably make a plan and trust God so that we can give joyfully, that others' needs may be met, and that he be glorified. I think that's what it means. If the best thing you can do, if you want to be generous and feel good about it, is have a plan, you should make a plan. Like, whatever type of giving it is, whether it's giving to a church that you believe in, or giving to a nonprofit that you believe in the work that they're doing, or if it's giving directly to an individual for the sake of meeting their needs, whatever the process is, if you haven't taken time in advance to decide in your heart what to give, when the moment comes, you might not be prepared. But if you have taken time and you've prayed and you've done your research, You've looked at the numbers. You've made a decision. When the time comes to be generous, you can do it without feeling guilt-tripped. You can give without feeling coerced, uninformed. See, pre-planned giving protects you against a lot of giving mistakes. Pre-planned giving, deciding in advance in your heart, it protects you from like giving out of emotional manipulation, which pretty much always comes with giver's remorse. It can protect you against coercion, can protect you against going, I mean, I don't even really want to do this, but I feel like I'm supposed to, or that guy's going to be mad at me if I don't, or I don't know. It protects you against that because you've put the time and the thought and the prayer. You've planted seeds. You've tilled the soil. You've done all that. It can protect you against uninformed giving as well. You can impulsively give sometimes, and then afterwards realize, wow, that organization isn't actually about what I thought it was about. Pre-planned giving allows you to do your homework. See, there's a direct correlation between planning and joy when it comes to giving. So when you've prayed, you've done your research, you can give with such a confidence, just knowing, I know I'm not being manipulated. This is my decision. And I know I'm not being impulsive. I know this is a good decision. And you can also have time to challenge yourself more. Where maybe in the moment you go, oh, I don't know, I think I might be able to do X amount. But in your prayer time, you might actually go, you know what? I think I could probably plant more seeds than that. And you'll be able to give, feel good about it. God loves a cheerful giver. God, if you're like putting money in a box and going, God, this is such a load of junk. Why on earth? It's like you're missing the point. But planning leads to cheerful giving, and God loves to take the giving of cheerful givers and just multiply blessing. And now one important note, and this is very important, this passage does not mean that God will make you wealthy if you give to a church. Preachers of the so-called prosperity gospel, which is no gospel at all, it's a crafted scheme of Satan. The health, wealth, prosperity nonsense. It's not biblical, but the preachers who peddle that crock love to take this passage and twist it and misapply it. Why? So they can twist people and get more money out of them. But one sentence pulls the rug out from under their evil little feet, and it's this. The collection that Paul was taking was not for Paul. This was not funding his private jet fund. Paul's talking about generosity for the sake of meeting people's needs. And he's talking about God taking care of you, meeting your needs materially, but blessing you even better spiritually. The collection Paul was taking was not for Paul. That being said, my challenge to you this week, church, is this. Would you take time to make a generosity plan? Maybe sign up for one of the seminars that we have coming up. Maybe if you already have a generosity plan, pull it out, dust it off, reevaluate it. But you take time, think it through. Pray about it. Do your research. Decide in your heart. Because listen, if you don't plan for it, it's not going to happen by accident. I'm not speaking against spontaneous giving, but I tell you, if you budget for spontaneous giving, you'll be a lot more consistently spontaneously generous. Several adjectives in a row there. Adverbs. I don't know what happened in that sentence, but you get what I'm saying. Like, if you don't plan for it, this is not going to happen on accident. No one ever stepped out in their backyard and said, where did all these tomato plants come from? They took time. They made a plan. They planted the seeds. And if we want to become tomato people type generous, we got to make a plan. We got to till the soil. We got to decide in our heart. We got to plant the seeds. And if you have a plan, you can joyfully sow seeds of generosity, and God will bless you. Others will be blessed through you. And in so doing, you will reap a harvest of righteousness for his name's sake. So let's be tomato people type generous Christians. Would you pray with me? Lord, we're reminded that everything we have belongs to you, and you entrust it to us to take care of it and to use it according to your values and for your glory and for the sake of other people who are in need. We praise you. I pray that we would view money the way tomato people view their tomatoes, Lord. Would we walk into the office of this world and just bless everyone as much as possible? Make us generous people, knowing that you indeed are a generous God. We praise you and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. See you next Sunday, and have a wonderful week.